Jeff Rook is executive director for PEER. That's Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. It's a watchdog group that keeps an eye on government agencies and supports those who work in the government agencies. Mr. Rook, welcome back to Living on Earth.
Thank you.
Now let's begin with the role of the Minerals Management Service. What is their role in offshore drilling?
Their primary role is to collect the government cut, the royalties. And they're also supposed to make sure that the operations are done according to law. And the principal laws involve protecting the environment from many effects, principally oil spills.
So they have a dual role, one that seems to be promoting offshore drilling and another which is policing offshore drilling.
That's correct.
Is there a conflict there?
There is a conflict, but for almost its entire history, it's always been resolved in favor of promotion. The MMS has never been known as an alert cop on the beat.
Give me some examples of that.
Boy, just last year they were found to be literally in bed with the oil industry in an oil and gas royalty program where they were working hand in glove. One of those programs called Royalty in Kind, where they are in partnership with the oil industry, they were unable to answer whether or not they were collecting the right amount of money for taxpayers.
And when you say in bed with, you're not, this is not metaphorical.
Well, in the case of this report, there was social activity that went beyond normal comedy, shall we say, and also involved partying and alcohol and drugs. And in defense of the MMS employees, their explanation to the inspector general was they thought that they were in partnership with the oil industry, and the partnership just went a little too far.
What did Minerals Management Service do or not do in regards to this this rig that we're now keeping an eye on, BP's Deepwater Horizon?
MMS has taken the posture on this rig and rigs elsewhere offshore that the risk of spill and the consequence of those spills are minimal and not to be a matter of concern. With respect to this rig, they found that there was no need to even do an environmental review. They issued what's called a categorical exclusion because the risks of damage from a spill were so minimal.
How did they determine that?
They determined it the way they determined pretty much everything, which is they take the stance that they are to do as little as possible to impede permit operation. There was a Government Accountability Office report just last month in April that outlined how in the Alaska office for their offshore oil drilling, MMS management consistently suppressed critical findings about the likelihood of oil spills, acoustical damage to whales, introduction of invasive species, and a host of other environmental problems. And the idea is to basically kind of keep the leases running on time and keep production uninterrupted.
You know, in hindsight now, that decision not to require more review seems foolish. Why would that have happened? Were they required to do a review of that sort? I mean, doesn't the National Environmental Policy Act apply here, NEPA?
It does apply. And what they were saying was that this was such an insignificant action that it didn't even meet the threshold of significance that would require review. And so this isn't a question of hindsight. This is a question of them basically ignoring the plain black letter meaning of the statute. This was a fairly major operation, as we now all know. MMS knew it was major to begin with. To suggest that it was so insignificant that it did not even deserve to be analyzed with respect to potential impact flies in the face of the statute. The way these things ordinarily come to light is that you have conservation groups or watchdog groups that sue them. If they're not sued, they're able to, in essence, flout these statutes. And the other thing that's significant and is consistent from administration to administration is that the managers who make decisions that either are held to be illegal by a federal court or found to be illegal by an investigation almost never suffer career consequences. Frankly, during the Bush years, most of them were promoted after their decisions were overturned by district courts. So to the extent you want to change agency culture, you have to break some eggs. You have to hold managers accountable for past decisions. And if you don't do that, then this just all is harmless rhetoric, and it's no harm, no foul. The thing that will force an agency to change direction is when people's careers are impacted by doing the wrong thing. And that has never really been the case in MMS throughout its entire history.
Now, we have the benefit of hindsight, looking at what we now know was possible with a spill from the Deepwater Horizon rig. But is it fair to criticize MMS for not having the crystal ball to foresee that?
I think the criticism is fair to MMS and also even above to the Secretary of Interior. When he proposed a dramatic expansion of oil and gas operations on America's coasts, the Eastern Gulf, the Atlantic seaboard, and the Arctic Ocean, he did so ignoring warnings from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, the nation's oceans agency, that our oil spill prevention and response capacity needed to be dramatically upgraded before we expanded. The position of Interior, the parent agency of MMS, at the time, and we haven't heard it changed yet, is that the oil spill policies and practices were just fine and not in need of any reform or tightening or additional rigor. And even more fundamentally, Secretary of Interior Ken Salazar repeatedly says his top priority as Secretary of Interior is energy independence. That's an extraordinary statement that doesn't accurately describe the job that I know of as described in the statutes. It's a statement that makes Gail Norton, George Bush's Secretary of Interior, sound like John Muir, but it's also a statement that directly leads to these kind of outcomes. If energy production is the uppermost priority, then everything else is secondary.
So NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, actually warned MMS that we had problems in anticipating or being able to respond to a spill.
Yes, and pointed to, for example, the after effects of Hurricane Katrina and Rita. But NOAA wasn't making and still isn't making the decisions. The decisions are being made in Interior and presumably with approval of the White House. One of the things we've been struck by is that NOAA, the oceans agency, has almost no say in what the oceans policies are.
Are the decisions that we've seen around this rig in the Gulf that's now leaking oil, is this typical of the way that MMS has been making decisions, or is this an exception?
It's not only typical, but it's almost textbook. MMS takes the position that the industry makes the decision and even controls the information, as well as decides whether or not it's in compliance with whatever permit conditions MMS would impose on paper. MMS has no capacity to double-check what industry submits or doesn't submit. Moreover, it never demands information that is required that's not submitted. And it even further takes the position that the industry owns the information, and when it's submitted to MMS, it's proprietary and its employees can't circulate it on pain of disciplinary action, which means that nothing MMS does it can be effectively peer-reviewed by anybody because it's all trade secrets of the oil industry. And MMS does a better job of keeping those secrets than policing the permits.
What do we know about decisions being made on whether or not to drill in other potentially sensitive areas, say the newly opened lease areas in the waters off Alaska?
Well, the decision's been made to drill, subject only to a paper exercise by another Interior agency where they're going to do a literature review. And then after that literature review, they'll make a recommendation, and the recommendation is expected to be a green light. And that will open the Chukchi and Beaumont seas of the Arctic to fairly wide open exploration and development.
And what do we know about how MMS has operated in regard to Alaska's waters?
Well, MMS appears to have acted, the Government Accountability Office issued a report last month that took MMS to task for suppressing an array of critical findings on issues like the likelihood of oil spills, acoustical damage to whales, introduction of invasive species in otherwise pristine Arctic waters. And They found things like the scientists at MMS are under pressure to churn out reviews that omit important environmental concerns, and conditions were so oppressive that in the 5 years that they looked at, in some years as many as 50% of the analysts left the OASCA office each year. So it's fair to say that it's a forbidding place for anyone to work that wants to do a full and candid review. The other thing about the OASCA office is that a number of its managers during the Bush years at critical junctures went to work for companies like Shell. And so on one day they're managing the program for MMS, the next day they're across the table for the oil company. And that kind of exchange for at least the Bush years went both ways. And it culminated with the Secretary of Interior, Gail Norton, herself going to work for Royal Dutch Shell.
Now, the kind of things you're talking about there, suppression of reports, scientists not being allowed to fully voice their concerns, these are things that, sadly, we became accustomed to hearing during the Bush years. But we're talking about very recent decisions. This is under the current watch.
It's still going on under Obama. The reason it goes on is there are no rules against it. President Obama promised a policy a year ago to protect scientists and government science from political manipulation. Those rules were supposed to have been in place in July, and they're unaccounted for. We don't know where they are. The Interior Department itself has no scientific code of conduct. And so as a result, managers can reach in and excise portions, rewrite, otherwise skew things in order to keep the permits running on time. And employees who object have very little legal recourse and, for the most part, risk career damage.
President Obama's Interior Secretary, the former Colorado Senator Ken Salazar, when he was selected, he told the public and members of Congress at his confirmation hearing that cleaning up Interior, and in specific this office, Minerals Management Service, this was one of his top priorities.
He only meant, apparently, to clean up one little corner of it. He was reacting to the report about the partying and drugs with oil lobbyists, and he made an appearance and gave them a new version of ethics rules that had to do with the exchange of gifts. So under these new rules, somebody from MMS can no longer accept a pen from an oil company lobbyist or a cup of coffee. But in terms of scientific integrity, protection of whistleblowers, Secretary Salazar has been completely missing in action. One of the things we've noted is that there's not a single reformer that's been appointed to Interior, and certainly none of the veterans that sacrificed their careers earlier, particularly whistleblowers from MMS, have even been given the time of day, let alone invited back to public service.
But didn't Secretary Salazar revoke and block some leases in sensitive areas? I'm thinking of some tracts in Utah, which he overturned drilling decisions there. I mean, it seems to me they have been making some moves in that direction, haven't they?
They have. They've been somewhat limited, and they've been in sensitive areas where the Interior Department was already under suit, and so he could have voluntarily withdrawn them or waited for a court order to tell him to withdraw. And they were on the border of national parks. But in terms of overall leasing reform, we really haven't seen that. And certainly nowhere have we seen significant changes with respect to offshore policy. One of the things we were struck by after the GAO report castigated the Alaska office is that all the managers that were there from the Bush years and that were the subject of the GAO report remain in place. They haven't changed any of the personnel or moved things around or even issued a new policy or a suggestion that they are going to make environmental calls candidly and completely.
So what's your assessment comparing Interior Department and Minerals Management Service under President Obama to that which we saw under President Bush?
It's been the same, and almost 99% of the personnel are the same as are the policies. To the extent that there's a silver lining out of this utter disaster flowing out of the Gulf is that it may shake them out of their complacency and force them to address these issues they should have addressed right after Inauguration Day.
You know, going back to your original explanation of MMS and their role in all this, though, isn't that inherent conflict, that they are both promoting and policing drilling, doesn't that make it very difficult to change these behaviors?
It makes it difficult in the absence of leadership. And what we haven't had is leadership to right the balance and make it clear that environmental protection will trump production. That's the key element that's been missing. And it seems elemental, but we haven't heard it said. I suspect we're going to hear it said. The question is whether they'll walk the walk after they talk the talk.
I'm going to make a wild guess here and say you don't get invited to many cocktail parties in Washington, do you?
I don't get invited to many cocktails parties. That's absolutely right. We run what I call a giant shelter for battered staff. So on a daily basis, we get calls just in our D.C. office, about 5 calls a day. And for we were the ones that our work led to the GAO report. We were dealing with literally scores of scarred current and former MMS scientists who needed a GAO report to tell these stories because they had no hope of sharing them with their chain of command and surviving.
So the stuff that we heard in the GAO report, these are the same kind of stories you were hearing in background private conversations from people who work there.
Yes, and during the Clinton administration, I was invited to cocktail parties. There was an effort to bring in some reformers. We've been sorely disappointed by the absence of real concern, meaningful concern, about government scientists and whistleblowers in the Obama administration. And frankly, the only time we've heard as president, President Obama speak about the need to protect whistleblowers was when he spoke to the Parliament of Ghana and talked about whistleblowers as an important element in developing a civil society. We wish that he would bring some of that same fervor back here.
Jeff Rook with PEER, Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Thanks very much.
Thank you.